The following program is a production of St. Peter the Rock Media and is brought to you by you. If you like it, consider making a donation and supporting Catholic radio programming on AM 1260 The Rock.
Go to am1260therock.com and click on the orange donate button.
AM 1260 The Rock and the Catholic Diocese of Cleveland proudly present Where We Worship. This 30-minute locally produced program highlights Northeast Ohio's Catholic parishes and institutions, their rich histories, and what they do to meet the spiritual needs of those they serve. Now here's your host, Bob Tayak.
Welcome to Where We Worship, a program highlighting parishes and Catholic institutions throughout Northeast Ohio, with the intention of offering you insight and understanding on the importance of community in our Catholic faith. This program sponsored in part by the Catholic Diocese of Cleveland. The U.S. Conference of Catholic Bishops best describes the parish as the place where the church lives. Parishes are communities of faith, of action, and of hope. And they're where the gospel is proclaimed and celebrated. And parishes are the home of the Christian community. They are the heart of the church. And why are they essential to our relationship with God? Well, one only needs to turn to Scripture. In his letter to the Hebrews, St. Paul writes, "We must consider how to rouse one another to live and do good works. We should not stay away from our assembly, as is the custom of some, but encourage one another, and this all the more, as you see the day drawing near." Well, today on Where We Worship, we look at the extraordinary history, the current ministries, and the people of one of the Diocese of Cleveland's oldest parishes, this year celebrating its 177th anniversary. St. Mary, Our Lady of the Assumption, commonly referred to as St. Mary's in Elyria, predates the founding of the Diocese of Cleveland by 2 years, 1845. In fact, Bishop John Purcell of the Archdiocese of Cincinnati visited Elyria in 1835, paving the way for the eventual founding of the parish. And this is your host, Bob Tayak, and joining me on Where We Worship is the pastor of St. Mary's in Elyria, Father Charles Dietrich, who is joined by longtime minister of music, Mike Moore, and lifelong member of the parish, Mary Ann Galski. Well, first, Father Charlie, when we talk St. Mary's in Elyria, we need to open our history books to well before the Civil War, in the year 1845, as Lorain County was just beginning to grow. Would that be a place to start?
Yes, I think in those days, it was. As I look, it was basically the German and the Irish coming over, and in the case of my own family, they were farmers, and I have a feeling that the Kaiser serving in his army. In fact, great-grandpa, he was 18 when he came over, so I think he was a draft dodger.
In line with that, it's interesting, the parish appears to have a succession of rather dynamic pastors with a mix of English and German-speaking priests. For instance, I believe when Bishop Gilmore dedicated the new church in 1886.
Yeah, well, definitely, there was the German base to it, but Elyria was an English area. Heman Ely founded it. And interesting, there was a story told about Bishop, when he came to town, Bishop Purcell, that a Protestant Lorain County Sheriff, L.T. Boynton, invited him to speak. And so the bishop took it up and went on the courthouse, spoke about the Catholic topic. And he was so good that afterwards there was the Baptist deacon that came and asked him to preach at his place. So the anti-Catholicism that was here originally began to dissipate because of Bishop Purcell and the early Catholics here at St. Mary's.
You know, we've learned in a series of these interviews with parishes that date back, such as St. Mary's in Elyria, Father, that there was a pretty heavy anti-Catholic fervor in the communities up to that point, as we're talking now, 1835, 1840. I mean, there was truly an anti-Catholic, you know, a bias that had set in. I think what you're suggesting is a real breakthrough, if you will, by Bishop Purcell. And after his founding of the parish, things really began to expand. Would that be correct?
I think they did. I think they worked very well in the city, very accepted by the city. And it continued on through the church, down through the years that we were accepted and very much involved in the work of what went on in the community.
Father Charlie, women religious had a profound influence on the parish from its earliest days, particularly in education. Would that be a correct assumption?
Yes, our school has just celebrated 160 years. For the 19th century, it was the Sisters of St. Joseph that taught here, and they had a convent next to the church. And then right around 1901, the Sisters of Notre Dame from Chardon came and staffed that school for years. And, you know, they'd have 30, 40, 50 kids in the classroom and still had to maintain the discipline and teaching. And in fact, as long as we had them, we didn't have to charge much tuition. It was once all of a sudden that we didn't have enough sisters. But I need to tell the story of Sister Walburgis. Here was one who taught 40 years, four generations here at St. Mary's, and just the name would inspire fear. When you were in class, you didn't move a muscle. But she was an incredible woman, and I think indicative of the gift that was ours, that, you know, through those 60s, the baby boom, if you were in a family of 5 to 10 people, you were in a family, and they all went to school. We had over 1,000 kids in the school. And it was thanks to the good Sisters of Notre Dame that we have an incredible legacy here at St. Mary's.
Well, speaking history as well to Mike Moore, music director, did I read correctly, Mike, that in 1865, a pastor at that time purchased a Tracker Action organ that is still in use today? Is that correct?
That's right. It's been in continual use. And in 1987, we did a major renovation to the interior of the worship space, which included a major overhaul to the pipe organ. Music is such an integral part of our worship, and we believe it's important to use our resources to preserve this historic instrument. I try to play it every weekend, and I also use an electronic keyboard depending on the style of music that I've chosen.
Well, you know, it's interesting because, you know, I've heard it. I didn't realize that it was really such a historic piece, and it is. It's a beautiful instrument, no question. I think two bells in the St. Mary steeple are constant reminders to the community of the parish, and I understand they date back to the 19th century as well. Is that correct?
That is right. The oldest one, Cecilia, was named for St. Cecilia, the patron saint of musicians. And the second bell, Big John, was named after the then pastor, John T. Shaftell. They still ring today, and although they are now controlled by an electronic timer, we still can ring the toller with a rope. And I still do that sometimes to signal the beginning of some liturgies that are not on the timer's schedule.
Wow, that's a wonderful reflection, but not only on the history, but, oh, if you will, the influence as well in the community. So when we return, St. Mary's in Elyria, a dynamic parish serving the community for more than 175 years, on Where We Worship on AM 1260, The Rock. You're listening to Where We Worship on AM 1260, The Rock. And with special thanks going to the Diocese of Cleveland for support of this program. This is your host, Bob Tayak, with a message for our listeners. Are you a digital subscriber to the weekly email newsletter provided by the Diocese of Cleveland? Right before the weekend begins, the Diocese delivers a series of updates and stories from ministries throughout Northeast Ohio, as well as Bishop Edward Mlesik's Gospel Reflection for that Sunday. Be sure to visit dioceseofcleveland.org and click on the subscriber box that pops onto your screen. And now as our interview continues, it is continuing with the pastor of St. Mary's in Elyria, Father Charlie Diedrich, along with longtime music director Mike Moore and lifelong daughter of the parish, Mary Ann Galski. Well, Father Charlie, as a son of the parish yourself, tell us a little bit about your family and its influence on the development of the parish going back five generations.
Not only does it go back five generations, we celebrated my great niece's first communion a couple of weeks ago that makes it seven. Back in 1867, my great grandparents were married in the old church across the street. It was a wooden frame church. Poor farmer had five daughters, a son, five more daughters than grandpa. So he was born in 1886, and they finished building the new church in June of 1886. Born in August, he's the 12th person baptized in the new church. And as I said, down through the years, they've been faithful members. In fact, my grandmother's brother from New York City was ordained a priest and came to Cleveland for some reason. And his first assignment was here in 1905 at St. Mary's, Father Peter Deep. And then he went on to start Oberlin and eventually moved on to Milwaukee. He was a member here, and it's luckily for us that the family moved from New York to be in Oberlin. Otherwise, Grandma wouldn't have met Grandpa. He had a brother that was a Maryknoll priest. Their nephew was Father Joe Stoltz from Cleveland. I was the grandnephew. And now my nephew, Brian Humphrey, has been ordained for the Diocese of Los Angeles. We have been very, very active. And I think that's what almost makes it, an important element of why it's family for me.
Oh, sure. Very obviously. Mary Ann, you grew up in the parish and experienced some of its most vibrant times, both in the church and in the school. Tell us a favorite memory for you growing up in the parish.
Well, first of all, it's been a very happy time when I think of anything that's ever happened here at St. Mary's. It's family, really. School was, wonderful. We had two classes for every grade. We went to Mass, especially in the upper grades, every day. Had to have breakfast during religion class, every day. Had an egg salad sandwich. That was quite the memory for me. But it was just, a wonderful time. I don't have any, specific things other than, First Communion. That was so exciting. I mean, we prepared for that. I remember the songs we practiced and everything. And another favorite memory, for whatever reason, was 40 hours. We had flower girls, of which I was one, and we wore long dresses and everything. And we led the procession of the many priests that returned to the parish for the celebration. And I looked forward to that every year. I was pretty young, but I always remembered 40 hours. So that was, a special time. And Holy Week. I always loved Holy Week. My parents must have done a really good job because I even liked to go to Good Friday. And that was long.
It was.
3 hours. That sort of thing.
Sure. Just a sidebar here, Father Charlie, for those who don't even remember or have never experienced 40 hours devotion, what did that entail?
Well, in those days, it was a couple days, that they would have the adoration through the day and then, a closing with the priest coming back. So it was not like today. In those days, the emphasis was on a Eucharist that we more adored than it was of participating in. But it was certainly, especially with Monsignor Newton, who was a protonotary apostolic, he could say a mass with his mitre. He had a mitre. And so it was very formal in those days. But there was something, I think, very impressive about the celebration.
Mm-hmm. And it was really literally 40 hours of adoration of the Blessed mm-hmm. Sacrament that was mm-hmm. With people, in present, of course, at all time during that period. Let me ask Mike Moore, as music director. Mike, what have you seen as the evolution of music in your worship in the parish?
Well, we still maintain a real strong traditional repertoire, but as music has changed, many writers have employed the use of more modern styles, different instruments, including percussion instruments, and this all goes to serve a wider family of believers. We here at St. Mary's have embraced these changes as a further way to bring believers into communion and to grow our parish family.
Mike, what different music ministries do you have?
We currently have a small mixed adult choir who love and enjoy singing soprano, alto, tenor, bass arrangements of both traditional hymnody and newer arrangements of some more modern music. We also have another group dubbed the Spirit Gang, which uses guitar, bass guitar, and other instruments in leading the liturgies for which they minister.
Mary Ann, growing up in the parish, how did these programs and activities influence your development in the Catholic faith?
Well, I think, as I said, I felt a strong backing at home with my parents. They were active in the parish. And then when my children, got into at least school age in the early 80s, I got very active in the parish. It started with Christ Renews His Parish program here, and that was quite popular, but it involved a lot of people. We really became involved. We had fun times preparing and serving meals that we catered in our hall here. So that was fun. I taught fifth grade PSR for a while. I joined the Liturgy Commission and was on that for many, many years. We did an Ordo Missae study learning all about every element or part of the Mass, which was quite interesting. And then we would plan the special liturgies with the celebrant of choice, like for Holy Week, whoever was celebrating Holy Thursday, we would all get together to choose the music and everything. So that was fun. I really enjoyed that. So I became involved, shall we say. And I'm a Eucharistic minister and a lecturer. It's been wonderful. Enjoy serving, really.
No, it sounds as such. Well, coming up, St. Mary's in Elyria, its current ministries, activities, and liturgies on Where We Worship on AM 1260, The Rock. You're listening to Where We Worship on AM 1260, The Rock, Cleveland Catholic Radio. And our focus for this broadcast, St. Mary's in Elyria, celebrating 177 years as a parish, dating back before the establishment of the Cleveland Diocese 175 years ago. I'm your host, Bob Tayak, and my guests are Pastor Father Charlie Dietrich, along with longtime music director Mike Moore, and lifelong parish member Mary Ann Galski. And Father Charlie, let's talk about your current activities and ministries. The parish has a long history of innovative programs, outreach to the community. Do those continue today, and in what fashion?
Going back, I think, to the days of, you know, Monsignor Newton and the involvement in the city, it was back in those days that, well, with my Aunt Gert Worsham and Ray Adams, who started a hot meal. So on Tuesday nights, they would serve meals in the school cafeteria for anybody who needed it. Then they went and got, when they bought up this old funeral home on the parish property across the street, they turned it into Hospitality House, which they went ecumenical on. And it has not only a food pantry, but has clothes too for people to come in, and it's still operating a couple times a week that they come in. We have a holiday meal every Thanksgiving, Christmas, and Easter. They serve the meals over there in the afternoon for anyone that would like a meal. Our Helping Hands ministry, they was the St. Vincent de Paul Society, but they spend their time solely in trying to provide rent and housing and utilities for people in need. And so they meet every Monday night. The pastor's ministry, it seems like every day someone's knocking on the back door saying, is the pastor there? So then I used to give money, but I've learned my lesson. The other day, the one woman, I'd go to the store with them, whether it was a drugstore, grocery store, gas, and so she would buy a whole box of diapers and wipes. So I went there and paid for it. Well, when I went back, the store clerk said, a little while later, she came back with them and got the cash for it.
Oh, my goodness.
So give her a few lessons.
Yeah, I'm afraid that story, I hear it much too often from various charities. Yeah. But, you know, I guess I call it radical generosity. You're still going to extend
that's
yourself.
Right. And it's, yeah, I can't be blamed.
No, but, right.
But the parish is really very active. It's the idea that it is in our social justice. Aunt Gert was one of the starters of the Catholic Action Commission of Lorain County. You know, that it is in that mission that we as a church come together. So I'm very proud of the work that is done here at St. Mary's.
Sure. Mike Moore, are you able to get parishioners of all ages involved in the music ministries? And now I'm reflecting on your spirit gang and so forth as we try to, you know, reach all generations.
Yeah, it's been tough, right? Because with the pandemic affected so many different aspects of our parish life, and music ministry is no exception. And many of our longtime choir members, as a matter of fact, have not returned to active attendance to this day. Many still join us for the live streamed liturgies, but as with our faithful, this does not foster the close bond that we seek.
And I don't have to tell you how it seems to me vital the music element is to any particular liturgy. I mean, that's something I know that professionally you look at very, very carefully.
We have wonderful music there that I just think goes so well. Mike does such a good job blending it with the theme of the liturgy that even I'm inspired. So, we were very, very blessed. The acoustics in that church are wonderful. So it really is a wonderful, wonderful celebration.
You know, I always ask this question in these interviews, like so many parishes today, is it a struggle reaching younger people in this culture which tends to dismiss organized religion? I guess I'd ask you, Father, but I'd like to hear from Mike and Mary Ann as well.
Well, there's so many influences for the young people today. The social
media aspect and sports, and with the lower numbers in our school, we just don't have a big pool of people that is to draw from. We boasted a large young people choir years ago who ministered at various liturgies, including weekly at one Sunday liturgy. But at the time when the scandals came to light, the first program was implemented, it became difficult to have rehearsals when smaller numbers or perhaps only one student would show up for rehearsal. It kind of eliminated that.
Really interesting insight on all of that, going back now some 20 years as well. Father, how about outreach to younger people? Is that a focus for you as a pastor?
It's a hope and a dream. As I said, the school, when I went there, had 1,000 kids in it. Now we're down to 100, and the number of those are at choice. So even when we have school mass, half of them don't even come up for communion. And I am a little disappointed in the younger people that they aren't coming to church. I don't know. They don't seem to be able to relate to liturgy. If they show up, they're on their cell phone, I think, the whole time. And so whatever that development is that they can enter into, you know, we keep working at it, try and engage people. We have a youth group here that one of the youth of the parish would gather on Sunday mornings, and they would spend a wonderful time reflecting. But it was even an effort by the whole cluster. We, as Elyria, got together with St. Jude's and St. Agnes and tried to have a comprehensive youth ministry. And even there, we were lucky if we had 10, 14 people show up. So, it's very difficult these days.
Father, how can someone learn more about St. Mary's in Elyria if they'd like to seek you out?
Well, I imagine the easiest one is the website, which is stmaryelyria.org, ELYRIA.org. Mike does a lot of work on the website, so it's kept up very well. And then we send out a weekly email blast of pictures and events and things that are, the Mass, Sunday Mass, all the things that are going on. So people have that option, too, of receiving a weekly email from the parish.
Which is a very, very nice device to reach people and for them to stay connected, as Mike had mentioned, even particularly during this pandemic, which does continue, as we know. Let me repeat that for you, though, again. It's stmaryelyria.org would be probably the best place to seek out. Well, I want to thank you all for being guests on the program. As you've been listening to Where We Worship, and this is your host, Bob Tayak. This presentation featuring St. Mary's Parish in Elyria, Lorain County, celebrating its 177th anniversary. Where We Worship, a production of AM 1260, Cleveland Catholic Radio, focusing on the essential aspects of community worship and participation in our Catholic life. And is written in the Gospel of St. Matthew, chapter 2, prayer as a community is essential for our spiritual growth and personal well-being. God does not intend for us to bear our crosses alone.
Thank you for listening to Where We Worship with host Bob Tayak, presented by AM 1260 The Rock and the Catholic Diocese of Cleveland. If you missed any part of today's show, you can listen to the program in its entirety by going to our website, am1260therock.com, and clicking the On Demand tab.
The preceding program was a production of St. Peter the Rock Media and is brought to you by you. If you liked it, consider making a donation and supporting Catholic radio programming on AM 1260 The Rock.
Click on the orange donate button at am1260therock.com.